morning. Don't you love that? I love those things. Well, welcome to New Heart this morning as we celebrate the beauty of Christmas. And it's a beautiful day outside. It's a little chilly, but it's beautiful. It feels like Christmas, doesn't it? Well, I don't know about you, but what I love about that video and videos like it is I love to see children's perspective on things. It's hilarious to see. Obviously, they were telling the Christmas story from the first chapter of Luke. I want to encourage you as a family and just by yourself to read Luke chapter 1 this week as we remember the real reason for the season. But I love their interpretation because there's something beautiful about kids and again, the way they see their world. They have that phrase, out of the mouth of babes. And that, I think, is a great example. I wanted to share with you a couple tidbits of wisdom from children this morning before we even get into our word. So I want to share a couple. Are you guys okay back there? You're looking at me, you're waving. Okay, good. I want to share a couple of bits of wisdom from children today. Hopefully you'll think it's wise as well. Patrick, age 10, gives us this bit of wisdom. He says, never trust a dog to watch your food. It's probably good wisdom. Michael, age 14, says, when your dad is mad and asks you, do I look stupid? Don't answer him. It's good advice, Michael. Michael, also a wise man, said, never tell your mom her diet is not working. This kid has learned from the School of Hard Knocks, I think. Randy, age 9, said, stay away from prunes. I don't know exactly how he learned that one, but good advice. Sammy, age 9, said, never hold a dustbuster and a cat at the same time. Good wisdom. Joel said, age 10, said, don't pick on your sister when she's holding a baseball bat. Good advice. And then finally, Eileen, age 8, said, never try to baptize a cat. It's good advice. They don't like that. Kids are pretty smart, and I love children. Again, this time of year is a great time to just view the world through the lens of a child as we look at Christmas lights and all the things that we do. And I think there's a reason that Jesus, when he walked on the earth, he told us that we must receive the kingdom as little children. And I've always wondered about that because I think there's something important. Because if we don't receive it as a child, Jesus says, we'll miss it. We're going to miss it altogether. And I've always wondered, have you ever wondered why that is? See, some would say, well, it means God's wanting us to check our heads at the door. And I don't think that's true. I believe God wants us to use our minds. He's given us our mind to think. Some would say we're supposed to ignore the wisdom we've learned and just act like children and be crazy and carefree. And I don't think that's true either. But what I believe that God is urging us to, he's nudging us, is to remind us of this sort of simple faith, the sort of simple faith that a child would have. See, what I love about my children, my boys, I've got 4 boys, and one of the things I love about them is how excited they get when someone they really care about is coming around. Like when they find out that grandma or grandpa or nana or papa or somebody that's a friend, we had a birthday party recently, and like friends are coming over, like they're just so excited at the idea that people that they care about are going to be there. Because they understand the importance of presence. Now, I'm not saying the word presence like as in gifts, but I mean presence as someone that's there. See, I've heard it said that a toddler spells love T-I-M-E. Time. Because they understand the importance these little ones do, and they teach us sometimes the importance of presence, of just being there, of just being available. And what I believe God is urging and reminding us of is that simple truth. And that's the thing that I think sometimes we can forget as the season gets busy. How many of you guys are busy this season of life? A little bit busy, we're running around and we're doing all sorts of things. We can forget the importance of presence. And that's the good news this morning, that God has created us with that longing to be present with people, but he's also fulfilled it in our very first Christmas. See, here's the big idea this morning, the one that our entire message and really the entire season hinges upon. This big idea are these 4 simple words. If you're taking notes, you can fill them out. God is with you. Would you say those words with me? God is with you. Of course, we sang a song about Emmanuel, which means God is with us, God with us. And that is the good news of the ages. The one that the angels, maybe not like in our video, but the angels sang about this appearing of God. That the God of the universe, the one who spoke all of heaven and earth and all of the galaxies into creation, that God came to be among us, to give us the very gift of his presence. You know, sometimes we say that, let there be light. We say that, that we want the presence of someone, but God has given us the ultimate gift, and that is the great news of Christmas, that whatever we find ourselves on this planet, no matter where we go, God is with us. Sometimes we feel like God is nowhere to be found because of the season or the circumstances or the things we're going through, but the reminder of Christmas is that God is with us. And Christmas is our season of hope, the season of hope that we remember that God cared enough to come and be with us, to come and visit us. See, some of us believe that we have this idea from time to time that God is some far-off being, but Christmas is our reminder that he's not some distant and far-off creator. He's not just some power or force. Maybe you're a Star Wars fan. He's not just some force in the universe, but he is a God who wants to be present with us. And he formed us, and he created us, and he knows us, and he wants to be with us. That is the God that we serve. See, we have a God that knows everything about us. He knows all of our stuff, all of our weaknesses and imperfections, all of our strengths, and all of our flaws. And he wants to be with us still, in spite of all those things. See, he knows every silent victory that we celebrate and every hidden mistake we try and hide. God knows everything about us. He knows every hidden thought and every wicked deed. And he sees us not for who we are or what we do, but for who he's made us to be. He's given us a purpose and a hope. See, James 4:8, I want to read this scripture to you. It tells us this truth, that if we will draw near to God, he will draw near to you. But this Christmas season, I want us to remember, not only can we draw near to God and he'll draw near to us, but I want to remind you of this fact, that God makes the first move. He came near to us. Before any of us decided to draw near to God, before any of us made the decision to, man, I want to seek after God, God said, I'm going to go and be with them. I want to be among them. God made the first move to come near us. And it's a time that we remember not that we've pursued God, but that the God of the universe has and is pursuing us. See, God's most important gift is his presence. Now, again, that is a kind of a play on word. I'm not saying presence like as in wrapped boxes, but his presence, his being near to us. The word presence has a number of different definitions. It can mean the state or fact of existing, occurring, or being present in a place. The second part of presence, the definition is the impressive manner or appearance of a person or force. See, God has both presence. He's both physically with us, but he's also got a presence. He can be felt, the power of God. And the Bible talks about presence in a number of different ways. I want to give you just three examples from the scripture that talk about the presence of God. The first, the Bible talks about what we would call the omnipresence of God. If you're taking notes, that's one of the fill in the blanks, the omnipresence of God. This is the idea that God is present at all places, all the time. And this is a big idea to realize that there's nowhere we can go in all of creation there God is not. Now, there's some Eastern thinkers that have this idea called pantheism, and they would believe a little bit different. They believe that God is not just everywhere, but he is everything. They'd say, man, this table, it's a really nice table, by the way, but this table is God. And they'd say, well, that tree outside, that tree is God, and that grass that we're going to walk across as we leave today, that is God. And we don't believe those things. We believe that God is creator, and he has made creation. But there's a moment in time where God came to visit us in creation through the incarnate Christ. Now, we believe that the Bible says that God's very presence is everywhere. Not that everything is God, but God is everywhere. In fact, we believe this. Psalm 139, verse 7, the psalmist says these beautiful words. It says, where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you're there. In other words, there's no height I can go to escape from God's presence. There's no depth I can descend to. I can't run far enough to be outside of the purview of God. God is there. He is God with us wherever we are, even if we don't feel it, even if we don't sense it. In addition to that, God being omnipresent, we believe in the indwelling presence of God. The Bible talks about this idea that God's Spirit fills his people. That those who have put their faith in Jesus Christ, God has given his Holy Spirit to dwell inside of. Romans 8:11 says this. It says, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. See, as someone who's put their trust in Jesus, I can know that God is not only for me, that God is not only omnipresent, but God is within me. He's given me his Spirit to bring life to my soul, to bring hope to my hopelessness, to be with me no matter how alone I feel or how abandoned I might feel in a moment or in a season or in a situation, that I can know that God is not only around me, but God is with me. He is in me. So there's God's omnipresence, then there's his indwelling presence, and then thirdly, the Bible talks about God's manifest presence. And manifest simply means his visible or observable presence. See, as the incarnate presence found when Jesus Christ was born onto this earth, we saw Jesus as God with us in his manifest presence, but we can also feel the presence of God as we gather together, can we not? See, we believe that God is with us. No matter where we are, I could be on the side of the road by myself with no one around in the world, and God is there. But there's also this manifest presence, and many of you have felt that experience as we're gathered together with other believers, and we're worshiping, and we're praising, and we sense the very presence of God with us. See, that's the manifest presence of God. And the very first Christmas that we celebrate this morning, God's presence was manifest physically in Jesus Christ as he was born. God came to be with us. And the gift of Christmas is really the gift that every other gift depends upon, because it is the reason that we have everything else that we can rely upon. See, without the gift of Jesus, a Savior to the world, not one of us would have a restored relationship with God. See, the Bible declares that all of us have sinned, all of us have messed up and fallen short of the glory of God, and all of us, for the consequence or wage of our sin, deserve death. See, none of us would have this joyous encounter with God, this joyous reconciliation and restoration with God without him. See, our sin separates us, but this gift on that first Christmas morning was like a million gifts wrapped into one. Maybe if you've experienced that, or you've had a moment like that where one decision, man, it was like a domino effect. All sorts of other decisions followed it. My wife and I have had this occasion happen a couple times in our marriage where we've been really just praying about moving into a new season. We had this happen to us when we moved here to Simi. And we've had it in one other occasion in our life where we've really just said, Lord, is this what you want? And we knew that saying yes to this decision was going to mean saying yes to 1,000 other decisions. We were going to have to find a new house to live in, and we were going to have to find a new job, and we were going to have to find this and that, and it was going to be 1,000 other decisions that was all hinged on this one. And Christmas is that for us in our story, because it was in the moment of Jesus Christ's birth that all of those other promises of God found their yes. All those other things that God wanted to bless us with and restore us, and the purposes that he had for us, and making us new creations in Christ, and making us a masterpiece created anew in Christ Jesus for good works. All of those things were all dependent on this day. Aren't you glad that Jesus came? Can I get an amen if you say yes? See, the God of the universe came down with us to spend time with us, and that's God's gift to us. So we say that regularly, especially as we come to our tithe and our offering time. We remember that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father above. That God, our Heavenly Father, has given us every gift, and this is the most essential of them all. This was the primo gift. See, Christmas is a reminder that God is not out to get us. He's out to love us. See, God did not send down a warrior to slay us or to cut us down. Jesus said, I came that they may have life and life abundantly. And Christmas is a reminder that God is not out to get us. He's out to love us. But some of us spend a lifetime thinking that God is simply out to get us. We've spent a lifetime running away from God, and when things get hard or we make a mistake, we turn and we try and run, forgetting that God is omnipresent. There's no place we can run from God, that God is everywhere. The truth is that God's love for us is expressed through us to this thing we call Christmas. And probably the most important passage of all, some that many, even people who have never been in church, have heard this passage, John 3:16. Jesus declares this. He says, "For God so loved," say loved.
Loved.
"God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." See, Jesus came as the ultimate demonstration of love. See, what we deserved, what I deserved, what you deserved, was not a loving Savior. What I and you and all of us in turn deserved was judgment. But what Jesus said is, "I didn't come to condemn the world. I came to demonstrate the love of God to the world, to redeem, to save the world." And Christmas is our reminder that God can make the impossible things possible, isn't it? It's our reminder that God can make impossible circumstances possible. See, the story of Christmas, of Jesus coming to the earth, I mean, in and of itself, it's kind of an unbelievable story, isn't it? It's a little too much to even fathom that the God of the universe, the one who spoke everything, the infinite creator of all, he came to be with us as one of us. He came to be born. And as the Bible declares, he was fully God, and yet he was a real man. He was not an imitation or an illusion. He was a full human being. That's a pretty unbelievable story. And that he would do that so that he could suffer and die in our place for our mistakes and our misgivings, that's even double unbelievable. And yet it's true. Yet it's what the Bible asserts over and over, and our brothers and sisters throughout history have declared and celebrated. It's the reason that we can have joy in this season. Even though for Californians it's pretty stinking cold right now, we can have joy. Like, I'm not used to this. I have to put a jacket on, right? But we can have joy even in the midst of this freezing cold, because God's love is demonstrated to us. See, I've seen myself in the mirror. I've seen some of you in the way we live. None of us deserve the love of God. But yet God says we do. And that is a celebration and a reason for joy. See, Luke 1:37 reminds us that nothing will be impossible with God. See, just as the video that the children illustrated earlier, there were some impossible things that had to take place. This virgin was to give birth to a child. She's like, "Well, I can't do that." I love the way the kids illustrated it. It was great. But this is what the angel reminds Mary of. Nothing will be impossible with God. Nothing. Say nothing.
Nothing.
Say nothing will be impossible.
Nothing will be impossible.
With God.
With God.
See, Christmas is a reminder that God is able to do anything that looks impossible. He can do those things. And Jesus gives us the best gift of all. See, there's a lot of gifts that some of us are hoping for under that Christmas tree. Maybe our children are hoping for and we've placed them there, or maybe not. There's a lot of gifts that we want to buy and give and want to receive this season, but there's no greater gift than the gift of a new and restored life. And that's the gift that none of us can give. Not me, not you, no, not anyone else. Only Jesus can give us a new life. Only he can restore what's been broken. Only he can redeem and give us the gift of his very presence. He's the only one that can do that. Some of us can't imagine a God like that. I don't know why, but sometimes we can't. We find ourselves in despair. We find ourselves in difficult seasons. And I'll be honest, this season can be difficult for some of us. As we look around our celebrations, our dinners and our parties and the things we do, and we're not reminded of the presence, we're reminded of the absence. We're reminded of those friends or loved ones or or others that are not there with us any longer. And it can be a difficult season if we have no hope, but I want to encourage you that even when you feel an absence, be reminded that there's a presence. The presence of God is there, that God is with us. This is a season to remind ourselves. Sometimes we have to remind ourselves, you know what I mean? I have to remind myself, hey, Brian, don't forget, God's still here. Don't forget, God hasn't abandoned you yet. Don't forget, God has not left you. He's still with you. But sometimes we need to be reminded of those things. I'm going to ask you a question. What are the impossible circumstances you're facing this season of your life? This cold and bleary winter. What are the things that you're facing? My dad always said it's California cold. Get over it. I never understood that. Because it's cold, man. But what are the impossible circumstances that you're facing in your life? What are the things that you can't possibly imagine getting through? Some of us, again, it's an absence around the dinner table, or it's an absence at our party or our celebrations. Whatever it is, I want to encourage you that this season is our reminder, just as it was to Mary that first Christmas, right before that first Christmas, that nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with Him. Believe it or not, regardless of our choice to even share our worries and our doubts and our fears and our anxieties and our stress with God, He already knows. Some of us are like, man, I don't want to tell God about this. He'll think I have little faith. And it's like, do you think God doesn't know? Really? Do you think like you're going to, I'll just go think about this over in the corner. God isn't in the corner, right? We try and hide our decisions from God and our feelings, even the things that we're struggling with. But with God, nothing is impossible. Bring those things to the Lord. He wants to go through those things with you. There's a reason that Jesus came, just as Pastor Kyle shared earlier. Jesus came and suffered all the things that we suffer. He went through all sorts of things. He wept for people that died. He had all the same feelings and emotions and experiences. Maybe not the same experiences as you, but He knew how to, He went through life as we did so that He could be a high priest that knows. That we could come to Jesus in our time of need and say, Jesus, I'm hurting. Jesus, I need You. And He would be a God who knew about our needs. See, God is available this morning to each and every one of us. The question is, are you available? Are you available to God? See, are you available to what God wants to do in this season of your life? Because that's the ticket. Saying to God, God, I know what I want. I know what I want under the tree, and I know who I want to sit next to me around the table. But God, I want to do things Your way. I know that You're the God of the impossible. Would You show me what You have purpose for my life? If I will simply say yes to God, there's limitless things He's able to do in our situations. But it all begins by becoming available to God and saying, God, I want to look to You. I want to choose to do things Your way. See, Jesus says there's something important about us acknowledging Him. There's something important because it's so easy, isn't it, just to do things our own way. Just to not acknowledge God, not to go in His ways, to do it our ways. But Jesus said this in Matthew 10:32. He says, everyone who acknowledges Me before men, I also will acknowledge before My Father who's in heaven. But whoever denies Me before men, I will also deny before My Father who's in heaven. Here's the deal, my friends. God wants to be with you. Even the person next to you. In fact, would you say even you? See, the only thing that God asks of us is that we will turn to Him and say yes to Him. This season, would you say yes to receiving the gift of Christmas? The gift of His presence this Christmas. Not the present, the presence. This season, would you be reminded to do those things? See, God says, the gift of Jesus purchased is for you, but you just have to receive it. And some of us, we need to be reminded that we've got the greatest gift of all. We might not have exactly what we hope for under the tree this next Sunday. We might not have exactly what we're looking for in our lives, but we have a God who's with us, who reminds us that He has never left us. Perhaps this morning you feel far from God for one reason or another. God says, I want to remind you that I am with you. All you have to do is come home to Me. See, God gives us second chances and third chances, and for some of us, fourth chances, fifth chances to come home to Him. See, but sometimes we try and do life on our own. We wonder why it's empty and fleeting and sorrowful. And God said, would you just be reminded that I'm right next to you. My presence is here for you. So in this season, no matter what you go through, what it feels like, in the joys of celebration and in the depths of sorrow, whatever emotions you go through, I want to encourage you, God's with you. Don't neglect to look to the God who is there and present with you. And don't neglect to be present with God, to talk to Him. See, we say that to our guests. If you're a guest with us, your presence here is your gift to us. And the same is true of God. I believe the God of heaven would speak to some of our souls this morning and say, would you just be present with me? Would you just stop in the chaos of this season, of all the shopping and baking and running around and partying and goofy hat wearing and sweaters and being cold? Would you just stop for a second and fix your eyes on me? Because I'm present with you. Would you be present with me? I believe that's a call of God for some of us this season, to just stop, to press the pause button. Say, God, I want to be present with you, because you are a God who came to be Emmanuel, God with us. But it's easy to ignore Him, isn't it? So that's my challenge to you this season, to press the pause button. No matter what you're going through, stop. Be present with God. Now in a moment, we're also going to give you an opportunity, if you've never said yes to Jesus Christ, you've never received the love of God for the first time, that you'll be able to do just that, to say yes. That yes that unlocks 1,000 other things as we say yes to God's gift of grace. Romans 10:9 says, if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. That's the good news, friends. Doesn't say we got to work for it or struggle or try hard. It says we have to confess that Jesus is Lord. We have to say yes to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Would you say yes to Him this season? Maybe you said yes to Him 10 years ago and you've come into the family of God and you're walking with Jesus, but would you say yes to Him? I want to invite you to bow your heads and close your eyes, and we're going to respond in a time of prayer to the Lord this morning.
I want to encourage you with these simple words, as Pastor Brian has said. God is with you, and He sees you no matter where you are. He sees you no matter right where you are. He sees you. And this season is His reminder to us that He chose to come here. He chose to meet us first. He chose to suffer, and the pain He went through, He chose that, and He did it for you and me. And this morning, as we remember Christmas, the ultimate gift of God's presence, I would wonder and ask, would we receive it? He's asking us to take that next step, to start following Him or take the next step. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how messed up we are. He has a future for us. But the question again is, will you take that step? Will you receive His presence? Some of you today, that might be the first time you've heard this. And we're going to have a moment for that in a couple seconds. But first, I want to talk to the church that knows Jesus. Perhaps this morning, maybe right now, He's reminding you as your eyes are closed and you're dwelling on what I'm saying, that He's here with us. And He understands that Christmas is a tough time. He understands that you've lost a loved one, or financially, or whatever's going on. He understands that. But I want to encourage you, these simple words again. God is with you. He wants to be your comfort. He wants to remind you that He has never left you. So, Lord, I ask you today for those people, for us who have known you and we've been through life, that the present that you're giving us with your Son Jesus, that we take the present and accept the presence, that you help us to do the possible and let you do the impossible, that, Lord, that we understand that when we have you in our hearts and in our lives, that your presence is with us for eternity. We don't return it. We don't gripe that it's under the tree. We just accept you because you are the living God. And that you give us hope. And that you give us peace. And you give us understanding through anything we're going through. And that you chose to do that. You gave us that present. You gave us your presence as a gift to us, a free gift. I just ask that you help us to realize that and to reach out to you and to search for you and to know that that presence is with us 24/7 through eternity. And for somebody here today that maybe doesn't know you, Lord, I want to give an opportunity right now. If you're here and you've heard Pastor Brian and Pastor Kyle and myself talking to you, but more importantly, you've heard the Holy Spirit. He's talking to you and he's whispering in your ear. If you hear him now, he's inviting you. Come accept the free gift. Accept the free gift of my Son, Jesus. I'm not going to ask you to do anything crazy or silly. I'm going to ask you one thing. If that's you today, if you want to start your spiritual journey today, and Jesus is whispering in your ear, I want you to do one thing. I'm going to look around the room. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. And if that's you, just raise your hand and let us celebrate with you. And Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you that you make yourself available to us. I thank you that you are real. I just ask you to make yourself so real to us that we know that we know that we know. And I thank you for that, Lord Jesus. Amen. Church, I'd ask you to stand with me. I'd like to pray a prayer of blessing over you at this time of year. Before I pray, I just want to add to I'm real strong this year on the meaning of Christmas. I really want us to take it to heart. And as a church, let's continue to celebrate Christmas for what it really is. And that's Jesus. And it isn't just now. It's November, December, January, February, March, April. It's every month. If we can carry the Spirit of Jesus, we can celebrate it every day. That's what it's about. It's not about my favorite eggnog lattes at Starbucks. Oh, they only come out at Christmas time, but Jesus is there every time. But those are delicious. It isn't about the hustle and bustle. I'm not trying to be negative. It's beautiful, but it's that Jesus is beautiful every day. Let's remember that. Let's take that message also and leave this room with that. That will change Simi Valley. Not us, that message. Jesus is going to change Simi Valley. And not just at Christmas time, every day. So let's pray. Lord, I thank you. I thank you that you give us the hope of eternity. You give us Jesus, the greatest present of all. And with that comes his presence, Lord, in our lives. I ask you to bless your people here today, Lord. I ask you to let them go out and show the joy of Jesus to the Simi Valley, to their works, to wherever they go, wherever they live, Moore Park, Chatsworth, you can name it. I ask you to let the world see Jesus in us. Let the world see Christmas in us for what it is. I thank you for that, Lord. Again, happy birthday, and thank you for the present of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, New Heart. Be sure that...